And he describes those blessings in verses 7 through 12. He basically lists three blessings here that Jesus deposits into our life. First of all, he talks in verse 7 about how we have redemption through Jesus Christ's blood. And then he talks about in the last part of verse 7 that we have forgiveness of our trespasses. We have forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. I like the way Paul added that when he was talking about forgiveness. He said, you have forgiveness from Jesus Christ, but I just want you to know that it's just not just enough forgiveness. It's not just barely enough forgiveness. I want you to know that God came to you in your need for forgiveness, and he gave you more than you need. He gave you more than you'll ever use. He forgives you totally and completely with all the forgiveness according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Not according to how good we can be. Not according to how much potential we may have to live for him. It's not according to any other thing about us. It's according to who Jesus is. And he gives us his grace out of his abundance. Not just enough to make it, but more than enough. The abundant grace of God. What a blessing. And then in these final verses of these verses that we read, he talks about a mystery. The blessing of the mystery of his will. We don't like mysteries. I don't like mysteries. It's hard for me to figure out mysteries. Now, you know, my wife loves mysteries. She watches Columbo all the time. I think it's because she's always admired men who smoke cigars. But no, I'm just kidding. But you know, my problem with mysteries is I can never figure them out. But I want you to know that when Paul is talking about the mystery of Christ's will, he's not talking about a mystery you can't figure out. You see, he's talking about a mystery that God reveals the truth to us about. He doesn't wait for us to just try to figure it out. He doesn't wait for us to just sort of feel around and try to figure out what God is doing. He actually sent Jesus to tell us about the mystery. To help us understand that this mystery had something to do with his will, and that this mystery had something to do with Jesus going to the cross and dying for us. This mystery had something to do with us being able to be forgiven of our sins, even though we had nothing we could offer to justify that forgiveness. And yet, by his grace and by his mercy, Jesus died on the cross and said, here, I forgive you. I offer it to you if you will except me. It was that kind of mystery. It was a mystery that was made known. You see, I think Paul was trying to get everybody's attention when he said it was a mystery, because this mystery he had preached in Ephesus over and over again. He had shared about Jesus, how he died on the cross with them. They knew the answer to the mystery. The mystery was Jesus. Jesus came for them. Jesus came to save them. And when he was talking about this mystery, he was sort of perking their ears up. Now listen, I'm about to tell you something, but it's not new. It's something that God's already revealed to you through what I've preached to you when I was there. And notice how he talks about this mystery. He talks about this mystery as being about Jesus and what he'd come to do, and that Jesus had come not only to put everything under his feet, he was going to be Lord over everything, he was going to be victorious over everything. When Paul talks about Jesus putting everything under his feet, he's actually picturing to them how a soldier would put his hand on the neck of the person that he was fighting against and hold his foot on that neck and just demonstrate to him that, hey, I've conquered you. And that's what he was saying, is that Jesus is putting everything under his feet. He's saying, I've conquered the world for you. I've brought everything together for you. But not only that, But he talks about how Jesus is going to fill up everything. He's going to fill up your life. He's going to fill up your world. He's going to fill up everything. And that's what Jesus is doing today. That's what he's doing right now. And he's using you and I to be a part of that feeling of everything as we let him control our life and fill up our lives. We go out into the world and let other people know how he can fill their lives. And he's using us to fill everything with himself. And that's what Paul is talking about. He's talking about an inheritance here also in these scripture. In him, we have also received an inheritance. An inheritance. Now, sometimes we think that the inheritance is going to be something that we're going to enjoy after we die. And some of us have the mistaken idea that it's not going to be very much fun getting there, but we're going to enjoy it once we're there. Well, I want you to know that Jesus Christ talks about an inheritance that is not only something that we enjoy after we die, but it's an inheritance that we enjoy a down payment of while we're living right here on earth. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday, how the Holy Spirit is a down payment of our inheritance. And we need to understand that we enjoy the inheritance God has for us right now. We have a foretaste of it by the fact that the Holy Spirit's living in our life. And we, one day, when our physical bodies wear out, when God calls us home, we'll enjoy that inheritance with him in heaven. And you know what the inheritance really is? Here as well as there. It can all be boiled down that the inheritance that we have is Jesus. It's Jesus. Oh, we can talk about it in terms of streets paved in gold and all of that kind of stuff. And that communicates something of great value to us, and that's fine. But we need to understand that our inheritance is Jesus Christ. And we will be with him. We live with him now. He lives in us, and his Holy Spirit is a foretaste of that. And his Holy Spirit lives in us, and that's who he is today with us. But one day we will be with him in heaven, and we will see him face to face. That's what Paul is talking about here. What a blessing. What blessing Paul is talking about. But you know, one of the things that I think about as Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, and as we take this letter for ourselves, I believe Paul was sitting there thinking about a dusty old road that he traveled one day to Damascus. I think he was thinking about that road that he traveled to Damascus with the intent to arrest Christians in Damascus and bring them back to Jerusalem to have them tried and hopefully executed. I think he was thinking about that road to Damascus that he walked, and right outside of town, Jesus Christ threw him to the ground, struck him blind, and said, "Why do you persecute me?" I believe Paul was remembering that day when he heard the words from Jesus, those words that he said, "Why do you kick against the goads?" I think that day when he was confronted by Jesus Christ, this person that he was fighting with all of his strength to eradicate, the people who had given their hearts and lives to Jesus, he was trying his best to destroy them. And yet now on that dusty road to Damascus, he had been confronted by that very man he was fighting against and that he denied. And then he was told to go into Jerusalem or into Damascus, and he had someone called Ananias who was going to come and place his hands on him and restore his sight and tell him what he was going to do from there. That's exactly what Paul did that day. That day, what Paul is saying here became real for him. Oh, I don't think Paul realized that day as he was sitting in the darkness in that room waiting for Ananias to come, that he had been bought by the blood of Jesus. I don't think he would have put it in those words, but he had met him. And as he continued to grow and understand what God was doing in his life, and he began to say yes to all the things God was calling him to, he began to look around at things around him and things that had happened inside of him that day on that road to Damascus. And I think it was something like this. Paul said, you know, in a lot of ways, Paul, Jesus, met me on the road to Damascus and bought me out of slavery. I was on my way to kill people. I was on my way to arrest people. I was on my way to do my own thing. I was fighting against Jesus. But Jesus met me on that road, and because he died on the cross, now understood that he spilled his blood for me, and that blood became the payment for my ransom. That blood became the payment for my sins. That blood actually bought me out of slavery. I was a slave to my own passions. I was a slave to what I thought the law was all about. I was a slave to being a good man, and I had let that idea of being a good man lead me to think that good men could kill good people. And he began to understand that actually that day on the road to Damascus, the blood of Jesus redeemed him. He reached back into the slave market of the day, and the way a slave would get his freedom is someone would have to come and pay for it. Many times men would come and buy a slave for themselves, but sometimes they would go to the slave market and there would be a slave there that they wanted to buy so that it could set them free. And that's exactly what Jesus did for Paul. And that's what Paul is talking about here to the church at Ephesus. He's saying to them who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus, and I hope you understand, for every person in this room that have placed their faith and trust in Jesus, he's saying the same thing for us, that when you placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus bought you out of the slavery to sin and gave you a new life. And you are no longer enslaved to the things that you were enslaved to before that. You are free. What a blessing. What a blessing. If you're here this morning and there's some things that are going on in your life and you just feel like that you are enslaved to those things, you feel like you can't get away from them, there may be thoughts, it may be attitudes, maybe sinful actions, it may be things that you're involved in today that you can't seem to free yourself from, I want to tell you something this morning, that Jesus Christ offers to redeem you by his blood. And there's no way you can redeem yourself. There's no way you can earn it yourself. But because of what he did on the cross, he offers you redemption. And if he's speaking to your heart this morning, that means he's in the process of trying to wake you up and bring you to himself. He's chosen you to become a part of his family. In him, we have redemption through his blood. And then he talked about how Jesus not only redeemed himself, but I believe he thought back to that dusty road to Damascus, and after Ananias had placed his hands on him and restored his sight, he realized that not only had he been redeemed, but he had been forgiven. All the things that he had done up to that point, all the things that he had done that now he knows were wrong. And he realizes that this Jesus who died on the cross had forgiven him. He'd forgiven him all of his trespasses. He had forgiven him all of the things he had never done that he was supposed to have done. And he forgave him of things that he knew were wrong. And that God forgave him totally and completely. You see, what we need to understand is that Jesus Christ forgives. And Paul was wanting the Ephesian believers, and he wants us to understand that Jesus Christ offers that same kind of forgiveness to us. It is not only abundant forgiveness, but it's available forgiveness. And we receive it by coming and placing our trust in him. You see, until his blood washes us from our sins, and we were redeemed out of our slavery and forgiven of our sins. Until that happens, there's no looking forward to the inheritance that we have with Him. It's not possible to see it. It's only with forgiven eyes and blood-washed lives that we can see the inheritance that God has for us. The inheritance that He was talking about in these scriptures. You see, these are blessings that make a difference. You know, one of the things I appreciate about the forgiveness that God gives us is that He just doesn't come with the kind of forgiveness that says that leaves us with this attitude. Whew, man, I got through that one. You know, that's not the kind of forgiveness He gives us. He gives us the kind of forgiveness that is so astounding and so amazing that we stand before Him amazed that He would even forgive us, and understanding that because He forgives us, it means that I have to change. I need His transforming work in my life. It's a forgiveness that says, oh, I just barely got by. It's not that kind of forgiveness. It's a forgiveness that says, I've been totally forgiven. And now I must change. I need to walk with Him. It's a forgiveness that needs to take effect in my life. So based on all of this, of what Paul was talking about here in these blessings that we have in Jesus Christ, the blessing of being redeemed and forgiven and having a will and a purpose that's been made known to us that we know is going to lead to an inheritance. What does that mean? What do we take from all this? Can I just share with you six things that I think we can latch on to this morning before we leave? That we can latch on to because of these blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. The first thing I want us to note is that Jesus holds nothing back from us to bring us into a relationship with Himself and His Father. He holds nothing back. He gave us His blood. He died on the cross to forgive us and to redeem us. He held nothing back. He was willing to give His all. There's nothing left. Are you waiting for God to do more? He can't do any more. He's done everything He possibly can through Jesus Christ on the cross. He held nothing back for a bunch of sorry sinners like us, for a bunch of people that He'd already had experience with the nation of Israel, how they would say, we'll do better, and they never did. And yet He still had the kind of love in His heart for us to send Jesus to the cross, to do everything possible for us to have salvation. He held nothing back. Many of us would have been tempted to just give a little bit at a time and see how that person would react, right? God gave it all. And He gave it all at once. And He said, come. I've done everything possible. I love you, and I want you to be a part of my family, and I've chosen you. Jesus holds nothing back from us. And that's what this blessing of being redeemed and forgiven and having an inheritance with the Lord says to us. Another thing it says is that redemption means that we are free to live and follow Jesus. Listen, don't walk around this community talking about how you know Jesus and live just any way you want to. That's the wrong kind of witness. Don't do that. But when you've truly been redeemed, Jesus Christ is giving into your life by His blood and by the power of His blood the opportunity for you to live and to follow Jesus. Now, are we all going to follow Jesus perfectly every day, every moment? Probably not. But at least we'll know when we don't. And we make sure people know, hey, that wasn't because I trusted Jesus, that's because I didn't trust Him. We need to understand that when we talk about being redeemed, it's more than just a one-time thing. It's more than just a fire insurance policy to get us out of heaven and get us into heaven. But it is a freedom that Jesus gives us out of his redemption to live and to follow Jesus. And one of the ways we know if we're really, truly, genuinely believers is who are we following? Are we following ourselves? Are we following some political party? Are we following some ideal out there that seems good to us? Or are we following Jesus Christ, his words in the scripture? Another thing is that redemption points to the fact that God assigns us value. He assigns us value. God looks at us in all of our sin and all of our imperfections, and he says, I know the way you are, and I know the way you're probably going to be, but I'm willing to redeem you. That's how much I value us having a relationship. This scripture tells us that God values us and wants us for his own. But also, this scripture tells us that redemption by his blood is enough. We know we don't need anything extra. We don't need extra ritual. We don't need extra ceremony. Hey, you don't even have to come to my office every week and confess all your sins to me. Wouldn't do you any good. I just have to warn you, I have a problem with gossip. No. It's going directly to Jesus, because what he did on the cross, he did directly for you. And it's coming to the point where you're willing to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you don't need any more ritual. You don't need any more ceremony. You don't even really need to even partake of the Lord's Supper, even though it would be good to, because it helps us worship him better. It helps us to look at ourselves and examine ourselves every once in a while about how we're walking with him. There's no extra stuff we have to do. Jesus does it all. Redemption through his blood is enough. And then Christ's will is revealed. It is no longer a mystery, and our challenge is to find where we fit. Paul talked about the mystery of his will. He talked about how Jesus is coming to fill everything and to fill us. And he's talking about the inheritance that we have. He's talking about the purpose and the plan he has for our life. You see, the problem isn't us discovering the purpose and plan he has for us. The problem isn't trying to decipher God's will for us. God will reveal his will for us. What we need to understand is we just need to pray and come before God and say, God, show me how I fit into your plan. Show me what you want me to do. Show me where you want me to fit. We don't all fit the same places, but God can show us where we fit. Sometimes we become so taken by thinking that God is going to call us to do something. God's going to call us to be president of the United States, or God's going to call us to do something really great, which it'd really be nice if he'd call us to do something that would also carry with it about $1 million, you know? Sometimes we have those kinds of thoughts about it. But what we need to understand is that when it comes to discovering God's will to us, it's not about what we do. It's about who we follow. It's about following Jesus. And we need to understand that we just need to find where do we fit in. For some of us, we've prayed all of our lives. I'm 70 years old. I've prayed all of my life, Father, show me where I fit. Show me what I need to do. I'm grateful that 50 years ago, he called me to preach. And he gave me the opportunity to pastor churches. He gave me the opportunity to work with churches and work with pastors. He gave me an opportunity to serve him. I'm grateful for that. But that might not be what God wants you to do. That might not be where you fit. And we need to discover where we fit. The last thing is that forgiveness from the cross is adequate, it's abundant, and it's available. Adequate, abundant, and available. And I just want you to know this morning, if you've never experienced the forgiveness that God offers you through his son, Jesus, if you've never been to the cross and understood that the blood that was shed there was blood shed for you, if you've never come before Jesus and realized your need for his forgiveness, and you realize there's nothing you can do to get it other than just to humble yourself before him and cry out to him, Lord, save me. If you've never done that, I want to encourage you, as God leads you in your heart, to do that. Because until you do, the blessings we've talked about will never really mean much to you. And the world and everything that it can do to you will be what you'll have to contend with and deal with without any help, other than maybe a few words of encouragement from your friends. But folks, Jesus Christ, God in Jesus Christ, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that gets us through life until the end of physical life, and we continue to live with him for eternity. We need that. If you don't have that, he offers salvation. That's where it all starts. And I want to invite you to do that this morning. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to ask God to work in our lives this morning as we close out this time of worship. Would you ask God to speak to your heart about where you are with what's been said today? And would you be willing to say, Lord, do your work in my heart and life right now? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you that you redeemed us, you forgave us, and you give us a will, you give us a life that has meaning and purpose. Father, help us to respond to you in the way you want us to respond. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.